ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, it's Sam Hawley from ABC News Daily, the podcast that brings you one big story affecting your world each weekday in just 15 minutes.
One way or another, NATO's pretty kaput, but the idea that Donald Trump would sort of officially say, well, we're walking away, would just have the most dire ramifications for all of Europe and the rest of us.
Join me for ABC News Daily. Find it on the ABC Listen app.
This podcast was produced on the lands of the Awabakal and Gadigal people. G'day, Matt Bevan here. This is If You're Listening. I've got a new book on my desk. Well, actually, it's an old book. It's from 1980, but it's newly mine. It's called The Book of Predictions, and it's a collection of predictions from various people compiled by a family of historians in 1980. David Wallachinsky is one of the writers. His dad, Irving, and his sister, Amy, helped him out with it. I found this book while researching our current series, Black Swans, which is all about how difficult it is to predict the future. And this book is kind of a predecessor to what we're trying to show here. Our supervising producer, Cara Jensen-McKinnon, is here. Hi, Cara.
Hello.
Now, we've got a slightly odd situation here where I have a book and you've got the interview that our team did with its author.
Together we can be one guest.
I want to talk first about, this book. What do you know about the context of this book? Why this, why the author thought he wrote it, but why do you think this book was written?
I mean, I think the book was written because it seems like people are really into predicting what's going to happen in the future. So it feels like a very lucrative opportunity to write a book about it.
Absolutely. But the thing about the context of this book, so written in 1980, is that it was an era where putting a whole bunch of things into a single book was very, very popular.
Right.
So this was the era of almanacs. Before the internet, if you're sitting around in the pub and you're having a discussion with someone about some topic and you have some dispute over a fact or something, there is no way for you to just pull out your phone and look it up.
Yes.
And so people like David Wallachinsky published these books called almanacs. This is also the reason why the Guinness Book of World Records exists.
Right.
It was
These are bathroom books. These are books that people read in the bathroom.
Well,
now,
the Guinness Book of World Records was explicitly made by the beer maker Guinness to put in pubs.
Right.
So people who were drinking Guinness could then have, you know, facts about sports and records and that kind of thing. So this, David Wallachinsky, this is like his third or fourth book, which is basically him and occasionally his family just pulling bunches of facts and stats and stuff into single books. And I want to send you some of the, like, just the contents pages of of some of his, some of the previous books. So here is one of the pages of the contents page of the Book of Lists. Just pick a few random little lists to read out from there.
Probably not that one.
No. By all means, I sent you that page.
Oh my god. So that I would note one of them in particular.
Well, there's a whole bunch of pretty questionable ones.
Sheesh. All right. Okay, well, maybe I'll read number 13, At Home and Growing Up, first. 15 famous events that happened in the bathtub. Okay. I struggle to think of just one. But rating the cleanliness of 6 European peoples, 15... famous people who never graduated from grade school. This really reads like the listicles of today.
It absolutely is.
It feels
it is
very
listicles.
Familiar.
That's
exactly
what it is. This is BuzzFeed listicles before that existed. It was just fun lists, you know. The next bit, 14 preserved anatomical parts of renowned people. famous brains and what they weighed. And then, of course, you got chapter...
Chapter 15 was the one that I was laughing about at the beginning, which is just titled Private Parts.
Yeah.
And some of them include Benjamin Franklin's 8 Reasons to Marry an Older Woman, the sexual aberrations and peculiarities of 20 well-known men, 10 women offered $1 million each if they would pose nude for a girly magazine. I'm surprised they have 10 names of people that did that.
Well, they did their research is the point, I think. They really did. 8 celebrities who've had vasectomies.
Important.
2 men who posed as women and 9 women who posed as men. So look, these people...
Important things to know.
Yeah. David and his family basically just like... just looked up any facts and just put them in their book.
Yes.
So that people would be able to discuss these things.
They were big gossip heads, it seems.
They were kind of just everything heads. And yes. After the success of the People's Almanac and the Book of Lists, they compiled and published the Book of Predictions.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the context by which they sort of pulled this book together.
Yes. So we spoke to David for doing some research for the Black Swan series, and he said that in doing the research for this almanac, they spoke to 3 groups of people, and he started, as you would anticipate, you know, a place to start with this sort of book would be with experts. So they interviewed experts from all different fields, from science, technology, you know, travel, transport, human evolution, all those sorts of things. And he was surprised by what they said.
What I found was that these serious experts, when we asked them to predict what's going to happen in the next 5 years, 25 years, 50 years, they generally said what they wished would happen rather than realistically thinking what might happen.
Yeah, that's very interesting. That's very interesting. I'm flicking through the book, and Professor Roger Williams Westcott, who is a former Rhodes Scholar, predicted things like optional menstruation in 2020 to 2024.
Oh, my God. We should be so lucky.
Yes. He says optionalizing of menstruation and development of ectogenesis or gestation in artificial wombs, enabling women, if they choose, to have reproductive involvement comparable to men. I think that's just something that people wanted there to happen.
That would have been nice.
In the 80s. Yeah, sounds lovely.
Another group of people that David spoke to were science fiction writers who obviously think a lot about what the future will look like. They mostly just thought that we would be flying around in cars and like teleporting through space by now.
Sure.
But I think one of the most interesting groups of people that he spoke to was psychics. And
fantastic.
So his local newspaper, the National Enquirer, twice a year would publish 2 pages of, they'd call up all these psychics and they'd just publish pages of all psychics' predictions for that year.
Yeah.
And so David started forming a bit of a log of all of those psychic predictions. And here's what he said.
I cataloged 364 predictions by these so-called psychics. 4 of them were correct and 360 of them were wrong. And even the 4 that were correct were like, in 1976, Jimmy Carter will defeat Gerald Ford in the presidential election in the United States. Cher will divorce Greg Allman. It was just ridiculous. And it didn't matter. They would keep coming back to these psychics anyway. Today, we would call it like clickbait. People didn't care if it was wrong. They just wanted to hear these outrageous things. And so, you know, 45 years later, we're still dealing with the same problem.
Yeah, interesting. So that strike rate, like what was that? 4 out of 360 or something.
That's
so
right.
That's pretty bad. That's like 1%. 1% correct.
But it's pretty good if you want to use them to predict what's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
Close. It's close to an 100% strike rate.
So do the opposite of
Do the opposite of whatever these psychics say in this newspaper, basically, and you could be onto something.
On the psychics, I'll just pick some random predictions from
yes,
the book.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, the psychics look ahead. By 1982, a naturally derived tranquilizer, non-addictive and non-harmful, will be on the market. Dosage will be adjusted to tranquilize, create a high, remove tension and pain, or induce sleep. Okay. 1996, a spaceship staffed by humans will fail to return from a voyage. Okay.
I mean,
2000, people will be able to walk across the Atlantic Ocean. There will be many cities on the sea linked by flexible bridges.
Okay.
Sounds fun. I guess the funny thing is that, like, a lot of them are really specific, but also some of them are right. Like,
yeah.
Bernie Catchings, one of the predictors, she predicts that in 1984, Iraq and Iran will declare war on each other.
Wow.
Now, they did do that, but they did do that kind of like before this book was printed, like in between her being asked that and the publication of this book in 1980, like late 1980, yeah, that happened. Although, you know, they also predicted that Norway and Finland will exchange fire over fishing rights. That didn't happen. I don't remember the Norway-Finland war.
The Great
of
Fish
1985.
War.
Yeah, the Great Fish War of 1985.
Another big part of the book was looking into the past and the predictions, you know, whether they have come to pass now. So I wonder, Matt, when you think about people who were predicting the future, who is the biggest dog for future predictions in all of human history?
Oh, well, I assume we're talking about Nostradamus here, which is...
We're talking yeah. The big Nostradamus.
Yeah, the big dog. Yeah.
We're talking the biggest dog of
predictions. Yeah, the biggest dog of predictions. Okay, so Nostradamus. So, yeah, so he's got some thoughts on Nostradamus. Fantastic.
So he's got plenty of thoughts on Nostradamus. One of the weirder things about his connection, his personal connection to Nostradamus, is that Nostradamus was actually born just down the road from where David Wallachinsky was living. So
okay. Have
a listen to this.
Because I live in a village in the south of France, the next village over the hill is Saint-Rémy de Provence, where he was born. When I first arrived in France more than 30 years ago, people said, you know, Nostradamus, he was born right there. There was no mention. And all people said was, he was born there, don't knock on the door, there's people living there. And it took like 20, almost 30 years before they finally put up a plaque saying Nostradamus was born here.
Now, I don't know why you would knock on the door of Nostradamus's house unless you think that, one, Nostradamus still lives there, or like the ghost of Nostradamus is there, or maybe that the people that live there have somehow like inherited Nostradamus's spirit and may also be able to tell the future. Like, obviously they would just be normal people living in that house.
Yes.
But I found that very funny.
I mean, Nostradamus died in 1566. So like,
yeah,
you know,
he's an old ghost at best.
He's a very, yeah. But yeah, just, I mean, I think it'd be funny if people just went and knocked on the door and feel like, who's gonna win the Melbourne Cup next year?
Yeah, what are you
Tell
expecting?
Me, quickly.
I need to know.
Yeah. So what does he think about Nostradamus? I mean,
so he actually spoke a surprising amount of trash about Nostradamus, which I was surprised by, given that, you know, that name's been around for a long time. So here's what he had to say about our boy, Damas.
First of all, he was vague. Like, you know, that was one of the reasons that he became famous. And the other thing was people just made up what he said. It was all fake for generations, going right up to today. Oh, you know, Nostradamus. Oh, you know, he said there'd be a war in Ukraine. No, he didn't say there'd be a war in Ukraine.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. I mean, Nostradamus is reading...
Fake news.
His writings are so, like, impenetrable. Like,
it's vague.
It's just like, it's almost like a random word generator.
Exactly.
You know, random phrase generator. And you can read anything into, you know, if you go, oh, well, in this strange sentence, Ukraine is the horse. And
yes.
And the horse is speared by the, you know, whatever. And it's like, well...
Okay.
I'm afraid you're going to need to be a little bit more specific if you want actual credit for these predictions. But anyway,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I remember there being one where it was like two brothers will fall and people are like, are they the Twin Towers? Are the brothers
towers? Yeah. Oh, incredible. So what an incredible prediction.
He foresaw not only airplane travel, but 9/11.
Yeah.
So, yes, he was a bit disparaging towards Nostradamus, but one person that did absolutely blow his mind when he was looking into future predictions was a man named Morgan Robinson.
He wrote this book in 1898 called The Wreck of the Titan. The premise of the book was that the largest and safest luxury liner in history goes on its maiden voyage, hits an iceberg and sinks in the Atlantic. 14 years later, not the Titan, but the Titanic did exactly that.
That's so weird.
Yeah, that's weird, but also a little too convenient for my liking.
Yeah, I mean, but...
It's, I don't know.
So you're suspicious. I'm suspicious of Morgan Robinson.
I don't think even the fact that the liner was called the Titan, come on.
That is very spooky.
That's a lot.
Very interesting. So what's the deal with Morgan Robinson? Like, how accurate is this book?
Well, Wolachinsky didn't actually know because that book was fully out of print. You absolutely cannot buy it. So he kind of wanted to get to the bottom of what the story actually was and how much he knew. And so he spent a very long time searching for this book. And then eventually he found a copy of it in the New York Library.
The New York Public Library had a microfilm version of his book. And we paid them to print the book. And so this man, Morgan Robinson, who made this unbelievably accurate prediction, was completely forgotten.
Yeah. It also feels kind of like a cover-up to me, the fact that the book just happened to disappear. But, yeah, the book, fully out of print, and he did mention that now, you know, since then, it's come back into print. It fully, nobody had read it, really, at the time. It was just kind of buried in history.
Fascinating. I mean, I guess the thing is, like, you know, the fact that the book was written and then nobody really paid any attention to it is interesting because... you know, basically, you know, it was totally lost to history until David looked that up. You know, one of the things about how difficult information was to come by before the internet, you know, if you wanted a copy of a book that, you know, had made this incredible prediction, then you needed to find someone who had it and get them to reproduce it somehow for you.
Exactly.
So you can see why books like these almanacs would have been popular, just compiling all these facts into one place.
Just Google. They were Google for
us. They were Google. Yeah.
Another kind of part of the book that really interests David was the fact that we're very obsessed with predicting how and when the world will end. And this kind of ties in with episode 4 of the series, which is all about doomsday. But he says that basically people have always done it. We've always had this sick fascination basically with predicting the exact time that the world will end and we'll all die.
People just love to predict that the world is going to end. You know, Nostradamus said the world was going to end on December 12th. He never said that. The Mayan calendar says, you know, this and that. It's just not true. And so in the Book of Predictions, there were doomsday predictions that there was going to be a nuclear holocaust. We would be forced to get into spaceships and set up colonies on the moon. Some of the people who predicted that we would set up space colonies were positive about it. They thought it was a good thing and that the technology was ready for, would be ready for it within 50 years. Well, you know, 45 has passed and it hasn't happened yet. Other people said, oh, you know, we're going to have to leave the Earth because it's so polluted or because we're going to blow ourselves up. There's going to be a nuclear war and everybody's going to either die or leave.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting that people just love making doomsday predictions and it's dramatic and it makes people pay attention to them and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
the people
true.
Who are saying everything's going to be fine, nobody's reading their book.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think it's David, in writing this book, kind of arrived at a similar position that we arrived at in the making of the show, and that is that we are just really bad at predicting the future. There's kind of the recency bias conundrum that weighs into the way that we think about the future, but, you know, that things will continue to get better or things will continue to get worse. But he said basically that he too was heartened by the fact that the vast, vast majority of the time we're wrong. And then he felt kind of hopeful about that.
I would say for the Book of predictions made in 1980, 81, well, even if you forget about the psychics who were like 99.9%, more than 99.9% wrong. If you just look at the experts, you know, even science fiction writers, I would say that they were 95%
wrong. 95%
wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right.
It's huge.
It is. It's interesting. And it's also interesting just looking at the way that I myself am reacting to reading this book, which, you know, I flick through it from time to time and just pick out some random predictions. 1983, Saudi Arabia and Libya will lose their wealth and democratic reforms, forms of government will take over in both nations. Nope.
Yeah.
1982, Ayatollah Khomeini's successors in Iran will be defeated by a coalition of Kurds and liberal minorities supported by the US and the USSR. Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I mean, but the fascinating thing is that I flick through this book and I go, wrong, 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 wrong. Oh, that one was right. And I go, oh, how interesting that that one was right. It's not interesting. It's random. It's like rolling a dice. This is just so much of what is in this book is wrong. And yet you kind of cling to the things that are a little bit right.
Exactly. One of my favorite things about the whole series and just how, like, explicitly how bad we are at predicting the future is that when at the beginning of the filming, we put this book on your desk, the Book of Predictions, as a prop, obviously because we had interviewed David Wolaczynski for the show.
Yes.
And then we ended up cutting him from the show.
We put it, yeah,
like,
that's right.
So the book is on the desk as like the ultimate Easter egg, basically for how bad we even were at predicting how the editing of the show would be.
That's right. That is so funny.
And we only had like one day to predict the future for one day.
You know, we were still writing and rewriting the script as we were filming it, and we put David Wolaczynski's book on my desk for the first episode, going, oh, everyone's going to really enjoy this when we get to David Wolaczynski in episode 3 or 4 or wherever we get to him. And then we never get to him.
So just in case there's anyone out there who's thinking it's some kind of weird conspiracy, no, it's just that we didn't get to it and we are also very bad at predicting the future.
Yeah, we couldn't even predict what was in episode 3 when we were filming episode 1. Fantastic. When you put together how wrong we are, along with how anxious everybody feels about the future and how worried everybody is about things, you know, falling apart and there being some sort of a global catastrophe. Those are the kind of the topics that we wrap together in episode 4, which is going to come out on Thursday on the podcast and Saturday in video form. Kara, you watched one of the most recent edits of episode 4, and what was your reaction to it?
I was crying. Not because it's bad, but because it's really lovely.
Yeah.
I think it's a really nice episode and it really did deliver on that first promise that it's not all doom and gloom and that it might end in a nice place.
Well, that episode is coming out Thursday and in video form on Saturday. So we'll see you then.